next stop on this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on and hit in the air. Sydney Fenner sets back, a way back. She is gone.
This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Hello, and welcome to the third episode of the 161st Street podcast. I'm joined by the Asian sensation himself, Jake Cortman. I'm also joined by the Redman. No, not Clint Frazier. We got Zach Brooks and P. I am Murph, and we're going to be talking O's, we're going to be talking J's, we're going to be talking all those series. But first and foremost...
The Yankees just dropped their first loss in 10 games. They just closed out the 9-game winning streak. Kind of got smoked by the Jays there.
Yeah, but Mike Sockman hit another ding-dong.
Yeah.
And, dude, that guy is on a fucking tear.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about that.
Dude, I know it's been spoken about over the last week or two, but, dude, Mike Talkman is just playing on a different planet right now. If anyone watches Yes Network as often as we do, which... I don't expect you to because we do it a scary amount. He was put in the club of a plus 290 average, a plus 360 OBP, and a plus 540 slugging with a minimum of 175 plate appearances. This is the company he's in. Cody Bellinger, Charlie Blackmon, George Springer, Mike Trout, Christian Yelich, and himself are the only ones in that category. So the fact that Mike Talkman, who we've seen on and off since the beginning of the season... And he started getting some consistent playing time now. This guy is just on an unreal tear.
I mean, you can't really argue with the facts that he's the number one hitter in the Major League Baseball since July 1st with a .417 batting average, .470 on base plus slugging. The dude's unbelievable.
Wait, that's since July 1st?
Yeah.
.417?
Yes.
Jesus. I didn't know that.
He's really unbelievable.
I mean, that's an entire month. .417.
More than a month.
Dude, and his catch the other day. Huh? Dude, his catch the other day was ridiculous. He jumped into the seats.
He really
old
did.
Old Jeter Oscar.
No, not even, dude. I can't even say that. I would never say that's Jeter Oscar. Jeter didn't play left field.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
But, like, literally after this past game just ended, like you just said, he was batting .417, but this is specifically in the last six games. He won Player of the Week. He's 10 for 24, 4 home runs, 13 RBIs, but the underappreciated stat, I think, is he has 3 stolen bases in that time. And it's just so fun to watch because he's just using his body momentum so well where, like, they haven't been very bad throws from that I've seen, and he's just safe most of the time.
That's something the Yanks need, too, because there's not a ton of speed. Gardner's still probably the fastest one, and he's, you know, I guess a shell of what he used to be in terms of just the weirds.
Is that the fucker from Kansas City?
Yeah.
He's from New York.
He's
from
New
York.
Has he even been brought up past the minors yet? Strictly playoffs.
So did anyone even hear him say Terrence Gore?
Do we really need another outfielder?
It's so funny.
We're talking about Terrence Gore.
So, quietly hear me in the back.
For all you that didn't hear, our co-host Rella doesn't even have a mic with him, and he started jumping into the conversation.
I love the Yankees so much.
Look, we love the Yankees if that's not known already, but Rella is a different breed.
New level.
All right, let's talk about this this Toronto series thus far. Yesterday was absolutely fucking shellacked them, and then today we put Hap on the mound, and shit seemed to hit the fan a little bit.
I mean, what do you expect?
Just one little stat with Hap. Now he has let me find it real quick. He's got 2.18 home runs per 9 innings pitch, which is the highest in the majors for a certain amount of innings pitch. I don't exactly remember what it is. That's just god fucking awful, and if that continues in the playoffs, that's not good.
I mean, personally, I don't think he's going to be a starter in the playoffs. He's going to be
no shot.
I hope
if he comes, there's no shot he comes out as a starter.
I'll be terrified even if he comes out of the bullpen.
I mean, I know like it was an issue. It's been an issue all season, our starting pitching, but like it was a big topic 2 weeks ago, and then we started smacking 10 runs a game and just winning all of them. Mm-hmm. But can we not forget Tanaka let up what? 5 against Baltimore. We have Hap who just
let
up how many today?
Herman let up 4 yesterday.
Herman let up 4 yesterday against Baltimore. These are teams that aren't Toronto. Even close to making the playoffs.
Yes.
What the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, that's the thing that everyone's been talking about, I guess, since during this 9-game win streak, is that the pitching's been a little bit better, but it's kind of been, I don't know, outshadowed by the bats a little bit. The starting pitching's still not exactly where we want it. It made sense we didn't make a move at the deadline and everything, but we just got to pray that, you know, Seve comes back healthy.
Look, I don't think it was any secret. Every team knew we needed one desperately, so they were upcharging us. But, like, I'm a fan of what Cashman did personally. I don't want to give up Delvy Garcia. I don't want to give up Mike Talkman. I don't want to give up Andujar or Gleyber. Clint. Listen to me. Don't even say Clint. He is just not – no one wants him after the
but you share your
his
hair.
Antics.
You guys aren't red brothers?
Nah. Look, folks, I might be red. He might be red. But I don't like him.
All right. All right. You got to explain to me why you don't like Clint Frazier right now.
Does no one understand the first rule of sports? The first rule of sports, the saying that goes across the board in every single one I've ever seen.
The legs feed the wolf.
Defense wins championships.
There it is. All right.
You're
close. You're close.
You were close, but defense wins championships. And from what I saw when he was on his hot streak.
That's why there's a designated
when he was batting 280, which is good, but not a hot streak. He was also giving up, like, one blown diving catch per series.
So I actually read something about that. And the New York Times put out an article yesterday just kind of showing what Clint Frazier is kind of going through right now. And one thing that stuck out to me that made a little bit of sense was the diving catches and the reluctancy afterwards to not dive was apparently, he didn't say this, but the skepticism around it was that he doesn't want to lay out and have a similar kind of injury as the concussion that he had last year. So he's like he's more aware of the wall and where it is. He's a little sketched out. He's not fielding naturally like he would. He's got something in the back of his head about it.
That's the sport.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying that's something. But my point. My only point is that that's something that you can get over. So it's not like he's always going to be that dog shit at fielding.
Okay.
Maybe he won't.
To get back to, honestly, might be a new topic, but the fact that Clint Frazier's not up now, you can't, like, Talkman is the best player in the MLB
I'm not saying
there is no room for Clint Frazier on the Yankees.
I can agree.
Even come playoff time, there's no shot that Clint Frazier should be on our roster with the way that.
Oh no, I agree with that. Like, I don't know.
Just think about the injuries we have to this team right now, especially in our outfield. Like, Clint Frazier is the least of our worries. We have Hicks out, Giancarlo Stanton out, and there's someone else I feel like I'm missing.
Gary's back tomorrow. Gleyber's day to day. Encarnacion.
Okay, but we just got Maben back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So between all those guys, we still have Gardy healthy. We still have Talkman healthy. Maben is healthy. And we have three more. Oh, and we still have Judge. Excuse me.
Also, Maben's hitting like 330. The fuck is that possible?
And he went like 0-for-4.
His career was...
No, he got an infield single in the last inning.
Oh, yeah. This was before
that was kind of
hype. Tonight. But his career was actually over before he came this year. Like, he... Yeah. Last year, he was on the Padres or something last year?
I thought it was Indians.
Indians.
Yeah, he's been everywhere.
He's like Shaq, but not nearly as good. He's played for every fucking team. And then all of a sudden, he comes to the Bronx and he's lighting it up. Makes no sense.
Can we talk about that? Looking at his stats, he's currently batting .335 this year.
So that, Cameron Maben. What do you go?
Cameron Maben is batting .335,
and he's got wheels still.
Yep.
Did you see his double yesterday? That should have been an easy trickling single into center field.
The last time he finished a season over 300 was in 2008. Oh, okay. He batted .500 with 36 plate appearances.
Gotta love baseball reference.
So,
you think we're smart, folks? We have laptops.
Small sample size.
I think we should get back to the point, though, where you mentioned how Gary Sanchez is coming back on a...
He's supposed to start...
Gary Sanchez is supposed to come back tomorrow, but...
He flew...
How could we possibly mess up the mojo that we got Romine and Higashioka in right now?
I mean, you can't tell me you're not going to put Sanchez in.
Sanchez in the back half of the year is batting less than 100, and our two other guys right now are over 320.
You're going to tell me you're going to take Higashioka over Gary.
I might take the tandem. I wouldn't take Higashioka.
So if you're taking...
I like to call him Reliable Romine. He's just been off tear.
If you're taking current statistics, while Gary Sanchez has been out... Don't say anything, Brooks. While Sanchez has been out, Romine and Higashioka combined have been batting a 339.
Okay.
339, which is better than Sanchez has been, what, his whole career?
Prove me wrong.
His whole career.
Wait, did you see the
small sample size?
And six home runs, too.
Seven.
Wait, did you see the one about the one about Romine and Urshela? So before this year, Romine and Urshela, they're on different teams, but they combined for six career home runs. In their last 51 combined at-bats, nine home runs.
That's
27 on the year.
That's another thing I want to get into. We'll get into that later, though.
Yeah, we'll mention that
later. It's about Urshela.
He is
the second coming of A-Rod.
Urshela is a different breed. He's got Arenado's glove with apparently the baseball bat of Altuve this year. Like
Altuve's having the worst year of his career.
Altuve outside of this year.
When you say Altuve, you still think of the 350 hitting Altuve from 2 years.
Recently, that's fucking deep.
Yeah, Jose Altuve right now is over 300.
It kind of gives us Romine's making a case.
He's over 300 with like at least 15 home runs.
Romine's a free agent after this year, and he's kind of making a case.
Romine could be a starting catcher on half the teams in this league.
How many teams do you think you could actually
easily? I think finding a solid catcher might be probably the hardest position to find in the league.
I mean, just think about the catchers that would be better than him.
No, I agree. And it wasn't. It's not just this year. This is a flashback.
I think we can unanimously agree. Gary Sanchez is probably the best catcher in the league right now. Who's ahead of him?
Wilson Contreras.
Grandal is killing.
I'll take my chances with Gary.
Well, Gary's right, hitting 230. That's the catch.
Yeah,
and he's also kind of injured.
My chances with Gary.
But this is a flashback. Like,
all right. So if you put those three at the top, sorry to cut you off.
Now you're good.
But then you got Romine. Who's in between them? James McCann.
James McCann.
James McCann on the White Sox. Good schmuck. Good one, Rella. Self five.
That's why I don't have a mic.
But, like, seriously, James McCann, outside, like, the top, you got the top tier. Then you got Romine, who's solid. James McCann, who's having a very good year. He's having a very good year. Who's left? Yadier Molina, who's 800 years old.
So they did a thing.
Hall of Famer.
They did a thing in the NFL where they rated the quarterbacks into four tiers. And, you know, they were six or seven in the top tier, and it goes down. What tier, if you did that exact thing, and they only did it for starting quarterbacks, what tier do you put Romine?
Two.
Top three, bottom two. Second tier.
I'd say maybe between two and three. Low two, high three.
He's not an all-star catcher, but he's an
extremely serviceable catcher.
An above-average starter for most of the teams in the league.
Do you think you'd be above-average starter?
Yes.
Pretty
average? Look at his average. Like,
I mean, yeah, but you can't. That's, I mean, one, not even a complete year average. You can't.
Not even that. Like, look at the year before too. He was unbelievable.
That's what I was going to mention too. Was this is basically the same thing last year. Last year when Gary went down, pretty early in the year, from what I can remember, Romine kind of snapped then, and we were like, oh wow, you like picked this thing up. And this is before the whole next man up. We didn't have that many injuries last year compared to this year. I mean, we did, but it wasn't nearly what's going on this year. We were talking about Romine then. And now here he is again.
I just think that Romine comes up in the biggest spots that we need. Like,
solo kid.
He's just always there when we really need him to step up.
Base hit. Easily.
Like,
good defense. Like, it's underappreciated. He's above average defensively.
To be fair, we're also watching Gary Sanchez the rest of the year. Exactly. So.
But Gary Sanchez this year.
He did pick it up this year.
Especially defensively.
He did do a lot defensively this year.
Defensively this year, he's like a top tier compared, like, if we're excluding last year.
Well, yeah, last year. Last year, he was the worst defensive catcher I've ever seen.
That was hard to beat.
So.
Well, if Gary's top tier, then Romine's elite. And I'm not saying Romine's elite. Defensively. Like, he's still not as good as Romine defensively.
Romine's a top 15 catcher in the league.
Yes,
I'll take that.
I don't know.
He might top 12.
I don't know about that. This year,
we have two of the top 12 catchers in the MLB.
I think I could find 15 catchers that I would take next year over Romine.
One thing I have seen, sorry to butt into you guys, it's just been eating me to not talk now. Romine in his career has only been his career salary is about like
$5 million total.
$5 million total. So you got to tell the guy like, hey, listen. Like, let the guy get paid. We're not going to match that.
Are we going to pay him? No.
We're not going to match that for a backup catcher. We're just not Gary's the catcher of the future. And, like, if he goes to half these other teams, he's going to get paid at least $15 million over, like, three seasons. It's just a fact.
So me and Cortman actually just looked up a lot of the starting catchers in the MLB, and we have officially determined he's better than half of them.
More than half.
We looked at the top 15. He's easily in the midst of the 10 to 15 range.
Can we confirm that?
I mean, yeah, statistically this year, probably.
Yeah. Can we confirm that?
No, statistically this year, definitely. But
I believe it.
So this article is kind of old, but top 15 MLB catchers as of March 23rd. Just think about this.
2019?
Oh, yes.
Just think about this. Number 13 is Kurt Suzuki.
Okay. When? Really?
I haven't heard that name in 3 years.
I was sick in
2013. Is he still stuck in Oakland?
Are you sure this isn't 2013?
Nope, this was this year.
All right. Well, I mean, Kurt Suzuki. I guess, yeah, because catchers are hard to come by, but also a lot of them are...
And I'm pretty sure Cervelli's somewhere on this list.
Cervelli, I miss Cervelli.
No, Frank, he's on the Pirates.
You don't miss Cervelli.
Come on.
He's good, yeah, he's good, but you're telling me you would rather... Where would Cervelli?
The list we just showed him on the Pirates.
He did kill
him. That's very true.
It couldn't matter less. He's probably batting .213 in a ditch somewhere.
He's probably got more concussions than the average running back.
All right,
might be the best.
So Murph, this is kind of going towards your argument about the tiers.
Sure.
This is MLB posted this and said this is based off fantasy production, which is completely different from what we're talking about because catcher is a very defensive position.
Right.
But it has tier one as Gary Sanchez, JT Realmuto, and then tier two is Grandal and Posey. Tier three is Contreras, Ramos, and Yadier Molina.
Yeah.
And then tier four is probably where he would fit in this list fantasy-wise, which is all offensive production, but it's Danny Jensen, Wellington Castillo, Cervelli, Zunino, and Luke Roy.
That's this year. This year's fantasy.
Yes.
Luke Roy's
okay. The fact that he's at tier four and like with these other guys that start every day says a lot because that's going off like with a certain amount of games that he's played and everything like that.
I'm sorry, could we double back around? You said JT Realmuto was in that top tier.
Yes. Yeah.
He's on the Phillies now, correct?
Yeah.
Correct. So are the Phillies just the kings of overpaying for underproduction?
Yes. I mean, he has been good this year.
He's definitely very
good. I don't know. I remember.
Well, he's
batting?
They made a push.
I don't think he
Which
did.
Which again brings us back. This again brings us back to the fact that, personally, a healthy season, I'm taking Gary Sanchez over any other catcher in the league.
Healthy?
Well, yeah, he is far and away the best hitting catcher in the league. His defense is
like not even close. And it also says a lot that if you ask every player on the Yankees who the best hitter on the Yankees is, I guarantee you they say Gary Sanchez.
Yes.
Which is crazy.
To judge?
DJ LeMahieu.
It depends who you define as hitter. Because DJ LeMahieu
sorry,
is
how
definitely
we
the best hitter.
DJ's, the god.
DJ is an alien. It doesn't count. It does not count.
DJ
also,
LeMahieu.
Can we take a minute to thank the Colorado Rockies? Because this year, they gave us Talkman and DJ LeMahieu. Not in the same
and
thing.
Ottavino.
But and Ottavino. All three of them all came from the Rockies, and they are just... We didn't give up anything for them, and they're unreal. They're the reason that we're as good as we are. If we didn't have DJ and Talkman and Ottavino, I mean, we'd probably still be leading the AL East, maybe, but not by this much, and we wouldn't be this confident right now.
I got some shit about Ottavino, if you want to let me speak. I did grab the mic again. Sorry, Cortman. He's the odd man out here. All right. Adam Ottavino, what do you know about that guy?
He's number zero. He throws a nasty slider.
He played on the Rockies.
He was a fucking frisbee.
I'd hate to be the Rockies. I'd literally be jumping into the deep end and just breathing really heavily.
You mean the shallow end? You dive into the shallow end?
I'd be breathing water. I'd drown myself if I was them. My point being, let's talk about a few stats that I have in my brain right now. How about that? So, Adam Ottavino, we talked about it last episode when I was on the good guys.
The A team.
Sheesh. He didn't make an all-star team. Didn't make the all-star team, not an all-star team. The one. He didn't make it. Why? I don't know. So I looked into it. I was pissed.
All right, can you fucking get there, please?
I was let me tell this story. So I was pissed off, so I looked into it. Really bored at work. Had nothing to do today. I just sat there just breathing.
For those that didn't know, Rella put in his 2 weeks about 4 weeks ago.
It's just a courtesy thing. They said, when's your last day? It's 16th. So I got one more week. Regardless, I'll get to it. Adam Ottavino, there's three stats I want to get to. One of them you may have heard before. It's called ERA.
His ERA
is 1.42. That's low. Very low. But to go into to feed off that point, there's one thing that's called... You've never heard of these before, probably. I learned them as I've been looking through baseball reference.
I took baseball stats.
leverage index.
I have heard of that.
Something very cool. Leverage index is something that measures the amount of leverage that a pitcher is used in, like the high pressure situations they come in, how often they're used in, and it's weighted based on how high pressure.
Like, so it's like a hold versus obviously a seventh inning. Up
things like 16. No, but things like three people on, like bases loaded, two people on. How much pressure they're facing when they come in? Mm-hmm. Adam Ottavino is ranked number one on the Yankees in leverage index. Remember that. That being said, the fact that his ERA is so low with the highest leverage index in the Yankees is astonishing. That goes into my next point too. There's another stat called LOB percentage, and that stands for left on base percentage. The point of being a reliever is to leave people on. You come in high pressure situations, like I said, and you leave them on.
That's your job. You're gonna try to do that. Well, that's what he does, and this makes sense. That makes sense that he would be that because he's not like Chapman. Chapman comes in the ninth and nobody's on. So anybody leaves on base, he puts there. But Ottavino comes in usually in the middle of the inning.
To their point too, he is second in the league in holds. He has 23 holds. We're only behind Stammen, whoever the fuck that is, at 24. I don't care. He's on the fucking Padres. Three of the top six in holds too. Yeah, in the entire MLB. Zach Britton at 23, tied with Ottavino, and Canley at 21. That's just because the Yankees bullpen is ranked so highly. I'm going on a
I think Canley's my favorite relief pitcher in that entire group.
Let me finish my point so I can get off the fucking mic.
Oh, yeah, Cormac.
So,
please, you smell.
So there's one thing called left on base percentage, and that's the main job of a reliever. Your job is to come into a situation that's a little dirty and clean it up, right?
Right.
His left on base percentage is 94.4%. That means he leaves 94.4% of people on bases that he comes into that situation, leaves them on, strands them.
Can I ask you something?
The MLB average is 71.9.
So
he is second in the league in left on base percentage behind only one guy, and his name is Emilio Pagan. Who the fuck is that?
So in the way shorter version, he's fucking filthy.
These stats are correct too, by the way. I got really bored, I memorized them. My point being is that Adam Ottavino is fucking good at baseball, and I don't know how I didn't make an all-star team, the all-star team. And if I was a Colorado Rockies GM, I'd be punching air.
It's a
drop the mic. Goodbye. Here's Corbin.
Rella, before you take the mic, or I guess we can hear you anyway because you talk loud, but my question about that stat, is it only inherited runners, or does it count runners that you put on? So if you walk a guy with two outs and strike out the next guy, that counts as the percentage, or is it only inherited? But like he couldn't be good at that stat because maybe he walks or gives up a hit. Like I don't know.
Okay, you want
one thing that we were trying to get to was sorry, bro.
No, I was gonna say if we want to talk about something else, I have a fun stat from yesterday. Well, the back half of our lineup, obviously, in the last 10 games has just been disgusting. Ridiculous. Like, disgustingly good.
Ridiculous.
So, the statistics that I found on this is that our 5-9 hitters since the All-Star break are first in batting average, first in home runs, and first in slugging percentage. These statistics are they're batting .318 combined. They're combined for 32 home runs. And they're combined for .612 slugging. You're telling me that Cameron Maben, Austin Romine, Kyle Higashioka,
Mike Talkman,
Brett Gardner,
Talkman,
the combination Torres of hits 5-9 a lot too.
Yeah. Mike Ford, Valera. You're telling me a combination of these schmucks who should be in the AAA are leading the MLB.
They're not schmucks
anymore, but. But granted, when they came in and they're like, okay, we got a half-assed Yankees team, and they smacked the shit out of them, like, you don't think that brought us double the amount of joy that Stanton and Judge, we'd get from Stanton and Judge?
Does anyone even know how to say Valera's first name?
No clue.
Thank you. It took me
2 years to learn Higashioka's last name. It might be a little insensitive, but I called him Hiroshima
for so long.
I haven't even tried.
The first time I literally thought that was name, and whatever. But the astonishing thing about that is that if you remember when we first got like LeMay, like the end of free agency kind of thing, and like you know, spring training starting, and they're like, wow, the Yankees lineup's scary. And you looked at it, and people forget, but Torres and Andujar were hitting 7-8. And yeah, we're having this – we're dominating the back half of the lineup with all people that were not supposed to be in the starting lineup at all. And
we also had Greg Bird batting five. Supposed to be.
Greg Bird, yeah, I love him.
Greg Bird.
Yeah, well, Greg Bird.
We don't have our Greg Bird.
Greg Bird wouldn't bat five on a Little League team right now.
We don't have our Greg Bird enthusiasts on today, but that would be Fuller. And to let him know, just to remind him after the multiple times we've told him, Greg Bird fucking sucks.
He is not
and
good
hey, Murph,
at baseball.
Across the table, so does Tyler Wade. So
yeah, you can relax on my boy Tyler Wade there. But to be fair, I'm not a Tyler Wade fanboy as much as I am a Clint Frazier fanboy. Kev kind of got that wrong when he made that caption. So, but I still do love Tyler Wade. I also love Luis Cess. I love a lot of the terrible, terrible people. What?
Put the mic closer to your face.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I don't know. I love a lot of the guys that nobody really likes, and then when they're good, I can say, see, I told you. So if Luis Cess is ever good...
All right, but you being a Clint Frazier fan, could you genuinely tell me that he deserves a roster spot on the
Yankees? No. I'm not delusional.
Okay.
But I'm just talking about, like, in terms of my personal enjoyment in watching the Yankees, Clint Frazier is so fucking exciting to watch. Like, there's just everything about him is so fun. And I also kind of like that he goes against – well, he's got, like, the cleats. He's got the cleats.
No, can you
give me a second on this one?
P.J. Tucker's got nice shoes in the NBA, too. Is he your favorite player?
I was getting somewhere, all right?
Come on.
The thing that I kind of like about him is that he goes against the grain of the Yankees. They're, you know, clean cut. That's, like, the thing there. And he goes against that a little bit, and I kind of like that. He wanted the most ballsy thing. This is why I started liking originally.
That's not true. The mantle thing?
No, I'm getting to Rella. I'm getting to the mantle thing. No, the mantle thing is that, so when he was number seven his whole career growing up, like with the Cleveland Indians and everything. When he first came up to the Yankees, not this year, but the year before, he asked if they could unretire Mickey Mantle's number. Mickey fucking Mantle. So that he could wear number seven. This fucking rookie.
That doesn't mean he's untraditional. It just means he's
an idiot.
No,
I'm just saying he's got fucking clackers. Like, you're going to go up to the Yankees organization and say, hey, can you fucking unretire Mickey Mantle's number so that I can wear it? I mean, obviously, he's a
I don't know about
idiot.
You, but that you're not helping your case for why I don't like him.
No, he's an idiot, but yeah, I was like, all right, I like that. No, it was the mindset behind it. He's like, hey, I'm here. I'm Clint Frazier. I'm here. I like
you're
that.
Shitting on him.
I'm not shitting on
which
him.
Is the, and that is the exact reason where he doesn't fit in on the Yankees, and we need to trade him.
If you're on the Yankees, you appreciate and respect the tradition.
I'm not blind to, like, I want Clint Frazier in the lineup. If he fits, he fits. If not, he doesn't.
And he doesn't.
If they got a good piece for him,
he dug his own grave.
I'd be all right with
I don't feel bad for him.
I'd be all right with them getting rid of him. So, for example, the one that
I'd be happy
at the trade deadline.
I don't want him.
At the trade deadline, the trade package that the Mets offered us.
Todd Frazier.
It was I fucking missed Todd.
We just got an alert.
Yeah.
Sorry, Todd Frazier.
Todd Frazier. Oh my God, the Mets won.
The Mets won.
Oh my God, the Mets won.
All right, fuck the Mets. Back.
All right, wait, no, let's talk about that. I'm sorry. We'll get into that.
Just real quick.
Sounds like you're done.
All right. The Mets wanted Garcia and Frazier for Stroman. Absurd. If it was Garcia and Frazier for Syndergaard, I'd get rid of Frazier in a second, but I still like him if he was on the Mets even. Like,
and the thing
I
is
like
that
Frazier. I don't care.
That people knew how bad we needed started pitching, and they started jacking up prices, which is the reason why we didn't make a move at the trade deadline.
I mean, yeah.
The Diamondbacks wanted Robbie Ray for Clint Frazier. That's just absolutely absurd.
Fuck it.
No,
yeah,
it was Torres, wasn't it?
No, it was Torres.
Fuck it.
Yeah, it was
they,
sure?
They wanted Torres for Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
They wanted Torres for Robbie Ray.
Despite the fact
I'm sorry, folks.
Because if we're trading Clint Frazier for Robbie Ray, I'm probably taking
it. I'm gonna put a poll on the Instagram later.
Who the fuck is Robbie Ray?
Yes or no, would you trade
Robbie Ray before the trade deadline?
Yes.
I knew him last year. He was good last year, too. I'm going to put a poll personally on the page later saying, yes or no, would you trade Clint Frazier for Robbie Ray? Because
no.
My personal opinion is
no.
Yes. We're not going to bring him up. We need a pitcher or else we're going to destroy our bullpen before it even gets to the playoffs.
No.
We don't have a fifth pitcher right now. What else are we doing with Clint Frazier
in the playoffs?
He's worth much
what, are we
going to
win the
AAA
championship?
You don't
he's worth way more than Robbie Ray.
Thank you.
All right,
in my opinion.
Why? So
okay.
What are we getting for him?
Why? Why?
I would rather give up Stroman. I would give up Stroman in a second.
You don't have Stroman.
I mean, I would give up Clint Frazier, Forrest Stroman in a second.
Well, yeah. It's a little late.
For that. All right. Well, I know in the sense, but when all the talks were,
yeah.
Wait, tell me to the Yankees, what value does Clint Frazier hold?
Well, in the sense of
he's a DH,
zero.
He's good looking.
Zero.
We've seen him. We've seen him in the earlier season. Who do you want for him?
Instead, and we did see him, but he does now Talkman's hitting.
Well, now Talkman's out of the blue, but I mean, like
his Clint Frazier 280 bat
has a better future, like.
Dude, you're telling me you don't want. Like, you're telling me you don't want arguably an MLB quality starter on a different team, not on the Yankees. A lot of teams, he would be the starter, a starter. And you're telling me that you don't want him as your like fifth AAA option to bring up.
That's the exact thing
I'm
saying.
That's so cool.
Clint Frazier will not be on the Yankees anymore. He will not play for the Yankees. He will not
wear
those pinstripes
again. On the off chance that we have six injuries in the outfield, he'll never play for the Yankees again.
Right, but there's no reason to get rid of him if we're not getting anything for him. No, I'm not going to trade him for Robbie
Ray.
That is a fair deal.
That is the reason to get rid of him. He's never going to play for us again.
Robbie Ray is like we were all high and mighty about Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray was supposed to be good before. Imagine a guy that
he was an all-star this year. He was an all-star this year.
He was good every year except for last year.
I'm just saying. Imagine a guy we're not high on. I personally sat on Baseball Reference the entire time the Robbie Ray talks were going down, and I was like trying to. I was that Jim from The Office.
You love bragging about how bored you are.
Fuck off. I was on the weekend. It was on an off day, and I was trying to figure out like, am I?
You
want to
talk about work?
It was like the Jim from The Office meme. And it's like looking at the computer and then just shaking my head, like trying to convince myself that I, like on Baseball Reference, that Robbie Ray is good because it seemed like we were going to get him. Robbie Ray is very, very average. And I'm not going to give up an above average, really young bat that
he's
could get better. And I think we're reading too deeply into
Above average player that will never help our team out.
We're talking too much about the deadline.
But we were trading out an above average player for a low return because we were in such a bad situation. So I'm not going to give up a player like that because everyone's looking down on his fielding too. His fielding's not that bad. It's just bad timing too. He might be better than that. I'd like to trade him when there's a full five tools. Then it shows the league that he's not a liability in the field. We'll get more out of him than a Robbie Ray.
He's still, yeah,
that's all
he's
I'm
got
saying.
Two years.
Drop the mic. Here's Pete.
All right, so we got to move on from this. So I'm just going to ask one question that we were thinking
about. The
Orioles
series.
All right.
What about who did Didi throw on home?
It was Mancini, but hold on. Can we talk about that in one second? Because this kind of relates. We had one question we were kind of asking all week, and we were going back and forth with it in our group chat for this podcast. But if you took the preseason, like pre-spring training, what the roster was supposed to look like for the Scranton, Rail Riders. If that roster was in the MLB in a 162 game season, what do you think their record would be?
Like the Rail Riders, like
not right now. I'm talking about the beginning of the year. So you like that they had Talkman at the time. They had take everybody that was.
So if the AAA team played a full season without coming up, basically,
yeah. Right? Yes, yeah, and they were in the MLB.
They would be destroying everyone.
But like,
no, they would not be destroying. Okay.
But wait, the thing is,
they wouldn't make the playoffs. But like, they would win.
To be fair, I don't know the Scranton Rail Riders starting pitchers.
That's true.
I don't know who the fuck they are.
Delvy Garcia,
Lasagna. I can't name off
Chance Adams.
Top hat. Holder was down.
Montgomery throwing righty.
Montgomery,
come on.
I want to hear everybody's just genuine what you think their record would be.
I mean,
it would be below 500 for sure. But like,
let me clear this up. If the AAA team for the Yankees without any injuries were in the MLB,
the preseason,
they'd be better than the Tigers.
That was basically my question. Like, would they really be better than the Tigers?
If we made a team with our podcast, we'd be better than the Tigers.
Our softball team is better than the Tigers. But it's kind of a relevant argument, like just by seeing how much they're producing up in the majors, you know.
Or what
like,
if we flip this,
dude? Urshela was not in the MLB in the beginning. Like Urshela was on the railroad.
And what if we flip this and said none of the Yankees got hurt? How good would our AAA team be?
That's true.
They'd be undefeated.
They
would
lose a fucking game.
It'd be undefeated.
Talkman would be hitting 500.
Because you're laughing. That's why it matters.
Kidding me?
Mike Ford would have 65 home runs.
It's a fun thought.
I don't know, man.
Back to the Orioles series.
Yeah, I was just gonna
say. What I was getting at before was we threw out Didi threw out Trey Mancini at home, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why oh, Didi's arm's back.
Why the hell hasn't Trey Mancini been traded?
Trey Mancini's just, he is hating life over
because
there.
Because it's a fucking Oriole.
He's actually fucking good.
Trey
and
Mancini
I wanted to talk about that.
He's a serviceable
this is,
player.
This
he's
is,
not bad
I'm back,
he's
by the
not
way.
Bad at
Cortman
all.
Went to the bathroom. Perfect opportunity for me to talk again. I can't stop doing it. Didi's throwing darts at home.
He's miserable.
Didi can't stop throwing people out. Arm clearly recovered.
Didi throws
fine.
Darts like Rella can't stop
Let's
talking.
Just
I can't
arm.
Stop talking. Let me ask you a question about the Orioles series. I got a couple questions I wrote down. So you're Jonathan VR, all right?
Oh, no.
Yeah?
Lord help me.
Guy fucking hit for the cycle. That's crazy. Does it matter? I mean, they still lost. It's just like a participation ribbon. So you're Jonathan VR, and you're a single shy of the cycle like he was.
Yeah.
But you're down a run, like they were.
Right.
They were down two, but who's counting? You hit a ball that's in the gap. What are you doing? You stopping at first or what? No, you're not. You're down a run.
It depends what team.
It matters.
It depends what
let's
team.
Let's say you're in the playoff race.
All right, playoff race? Yeah, no. Dude, if I'm
you're the
if
Mets.
You're never trying to go for the cycle in that instance.
Dude, if I'm on the Orioles.
I kind of want the cycle.
I feel like I would definitely go for
it. That's what I'm saying.
It.
Dude, if I'm on the Orioles and I'm 22
right, yeah.
out of first place,
you're
I'm stopping
That's
at
what
first.
I'm saying. You're Jonathan VR.
And then when I get pinch ran for in 2 seconds, I'm fucking kicking the manager in the dick.
VR is fast.
Yeah, but Rella.
No, I'm saying the coach just said
we're in playoff contention.
That's what I'm saying.
I may have made that a little outlandish.
Yeah,
I'm saying
if
it's
VR, I'm never stopping at first base.
If you're Jonathan VR in that situation and he hit that one. Like, he had a bloop one to finish it off. But if that was in the gap...
I'm stopping at first saying we're down 8 runs.
I don't think there's a single player in the MLB except for...
He didn't even know that he was about to hit the cycle.
How do you know that?
That's such an
Orioles
statement.
Came out that he did not know. No one in his dugout told him.
What if
he had no idea.
He doesn't keep his own stats.
That's just the Orioles analytics for you right there.
No, I think there's...
You
want to
talk about technology? Lack of?
I think there's one player in the MLB that would have stopped at first. And I would love for you guys to guess who it is.
Who is it?
Robinson Cano.
Robinson, yeah, that was my
Not
guess.
Not Robinson Cano.
Robinson Cano hates running.
Clint Frazier.
I'm talking about ball.
Clint Frazier.
No, I'm being serious. I'm talking
if
about
Clint Frazier was about to hit the cycle, he's stopping at first.
No, I'm saying Yasiel Puig. That's what I'm thinking.
That's a good one.
That's what I was thinking.
I
think Puig would stop.
Yeah, that would take that on.
All right. What is there to really talk about in the Orioles series? It was 2 games ago. It was a while ago. I'd rather look on to the next Orioles series, I guess.
I can't fucking.
I don't know why or how. I mean, we still have another game. For those listening, we have another game today against the Blue Jays. But then we're going back home and playing the Orioles. So what are we looking like there?
The Orioles?
It was the same thing that we saw in the last series. It should be the same thing.
3-0, 4-0.
Well, no. I mean, I hate to actually like give the Orioles a time of day, but these games kind of matter right now because we're in a really easy stretch of the schedule and we need to win as much as we can right
and
now
we
because
are.
We're way, way, way ahead of the AL East. But at the same time, we're kind of in a battle with the Astros right now. Before the game tonight, I don't really know what the Astros did, but we lost. So we're about even with the Astros for the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. You want to have the best record in the AL, and that's basically our race right now. We're not
home
fighting for the AL East right now.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I would just like to point out we were the first to the gun over Bleacher Report for the Brian Cashman story. So I'd just like to point out for you listeners out there, you're going to come to us over Bleacher Report. Because
Bleacher
we
Report's
just
23
just beat them by at least 40
story.
Minutes. We just beat Bleacher Report.
Have you ever
by
been
a
watching
minutes.
A game? Like, all right, so if you're watching an MLB game and something happens in the second inning that's noteworthy. Like, I don't know.
All the time.
Yeah, and then you won't get the alert from Bleacher Report until the sixth inning.
But we're above average fans because we cover Yankees, and Bleacher Report covers a multitude of sports, therefore all their array of teams.
By the time this podcast comes out, though, we're going to be hours behind them. So.
All right, you guys all got ADD. Back to the Orioles.
Yeah, facts. I should
have
taken
that. What
about that
record?
Oh, the...
All right, so let's bring it back to last series.
Can we look at who the probables are?
Let's bring it back to last series. We just broke... A home run record.
Oh, yeah.
Against not only at another team's ballpark, but against a team in 1 year. We broke both of those records for home runs with 3/4 of a AAA lineup.
And we still have 4 games against them left.
And we still have 4 games against them. That unbelievable.
Dude, the Orioles are just a joke. I think the bigger joke is how...
Dude, can we talk about how the... Like, we have more home runs at Camden Yards
than the Tigers
have at home.
Can we talk about how Chris Davis tried beating the shit out of his
home
manager?
In 9 games.
How many games have the Tigers played at home?
The Tigers have played 51 games at home.
What is it, 36?
They have 36 home runs.
Yeah.
Like, the Yankees have played.
And we still play them four more times.
Four more
Yankees
times.
Speaking of the Orioles, I think Tanaka was letting up.
No, not at Camden Yards.
Tanaka was letting up like four runs.
I misspoke.
Tanaka was letting up like four runs just to see if Glaber could come back and win it himself.
And there's Rella jumping in again.
And there's Rella. He hates not having a mic.
All right.
The worst thing ever.
So this is just a side note. So for all you listeners out there, I actually just finished an internship with the New York Yankees.
Go Brooks.
Let's go Brooks.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, so high key, really sick.
We appreciate you.
And today on my last day, unfortunately, of the summer internship going back into the school year, I actually got to sit in the opposing team's dugout. And in that time, I truly, truly sunk in what it feels like to just lose without even being in a game. I could only imagine what it's like to be fucking David Price sitting in there this past Saturday night, Sunday night, where he just got smoked.
Imagine being David Price in the third inning sitting in the Wade dugout after having 101 pitches. And
imagine
like
being David
runs.
Price spending his entire career in the AL East except that little stint with Detroit.
I
and just continuously
cannot,
losing.
I absolutely cannot imagine that.
Like he got carried.
Just a defeat.
He got carried to a World Series last year.
That's why I was a starter.
He hates pitching.
He only has to play every 5 years. No, but actually, that was something that I mentioned, or I meant to mention earlier. I didn't really have the chance, but we were talking about Hap earlier and how he's not going to be a playoff caliber starter unless he figures it the fuck out. But we can kind of work our way around that if Seve comes back, because you don't really need to throw 5 starters in the playoffs, especially if we have home field advantage.
You don't,
no,
but if
there's not even close.
Because we're not going to have a wild card game anyway. But if you had the wild card takes out your number one starter going into the next game, so there you might have to use a 5th starter in the AL DS at some point. But if we're not going to play in a wild card game, we can work a 4-man rotation if we need to.
But we need. If we get to a series, if we get to the ALDS or ALCS, whenever we end up facing Houston,
right,
we need someone to go up against Verlander, Cole, and Greinke, and to be solid.
That is very, very true.
Because you can't just rely on 3-4 innings of pitching and then rely on more than half a game being on your bullpen 3 games in a row at least.
Not even that. We just can't
We can't.
The way we're pitching right now, we would have to rely on us scoring 8 runs a game.
I mean, I feel like that's where our bullpen also comes in. I feel like if you give, we're ranked in the bullpen, and the Yankees bullpen is ranked number 1 in the league. I feel like if we give even 2 or 3 innings just through the lineup, then our bullpen comes in and just shuts it down.
But
I can agree with that.
But if we keep doing that during the regular season, like we have been doing a lot, by the time we get to October, that's just going to be a shit show.
Well, I mean, in a must,
it's only a matter of time.
Also, in a must-win game,
look,
our bullpen is definitely over. Others.
In a must-win game, I take our bullpen over most starters.
But the problem with the playoffs is,
you just don't know.
Well, yeah, you don't know, but also you can't gas your bullpen in the playoffs. If your bullpen gets gassed in the ALDS and then the NLCS, so by the time you get to the World Series, they're all going to be fucking gassed, and we can't afford that. So we do need the starting pitching, like you were saying, and that's where Seve comes in.
That way
we really
can rely on the bullpen.
Seve and Betances.
Yeah,
Betances is the big-ass piece of this bullpen.
I don't like relying on a starter and a top-grade closer in the playoffs when they haven't had a pitch yet all year, and
also
it's mid-August.
Also true.
Like, look,
right,
we know what Seve and Betances can do. We're not...
When healthy.
When healthy, but we're very accustomed.
But
exactly. And it's come playoff time, Seve is not...
You can't bank on that.
Seve has not been the most reliable in playoff history.
No, not at all. This guy's got a 72 ERA?
Wild card game got smacked.
He went through a third of an inning.
Wild card,
That was back
years in a wild card game.
You're going to get pulled so much faster in a wild card
Severino's
game.
Severino's good. It was one time. I'm saying, as a whole...
It was one game against the Indians.
Let me give a little
comparison
for you guys, because this actually relates. It's why I had to hop on the mic once again.
He said he wasn't going to talk at all,
for
the record.
I love baseball so much, I said I wasn't going to talk. I had to talk. So, little comparison for you. Remember 2015? What happened then? The Kansas
City
Royals,
my virginity,
is what happened then. That's a good comp for you right now. That's why I'm bringing this up. Looked it up again. Yes, for those listening, I was bored. So, these guys, the Kansas City Royals, they're starting pitching. What was it like?
Yordan Ventura.
It was ranked 22 in the league.
Dude, how fucking bored are
you? So bored. I'm not even reading anything right now.
Keep going.
Dude, they were ranked 22 in the league. What are we ranked this year? 16. We're better than them. They won a World Series. Continue. Their bullpen was ranked 6th in the league in that year. They had a very strong bullpen, weak starters. Their bullpen was ranked 6th. What are we? 1. We beat them there again. They still won a World Series. What do they have? They had really good bats. Their bats were ranked, I think it was 4. 2-strike hitting. There was 4 in the league. We're 2. So we beat them in every category. So my point being,
they also played the Mets.
What do you mean 2 in the league in heading though? Is it
ranked in the teams?
Oh yeah, but is it at war?
It's war. All right.
They played the Mets.
Which is everything. The Mets were good then. But my point being,
Daniel Murphy was good.
For those who say that the bullpen being strong isn't enough and the starting pitching being weak is a big problem. My big point here is innings. Like we need pitchers. We need guys who can throw innings. Like. Players who can get us innings. Not even like I don't care who, if it's spread out over 12 people, if it's spread out over a million people. As long as we're getting those innings done with guys who can keep batters from getting hits, that's all that matters, right? So if we have the number one bullpen and we spread it around, guys like Luis Sessa have a 3.91 ERA. That's fine. Big locker room guy, whatever.
Luis Sessa will not touch
a playoff game.
We could be down a million I would be disgusted.
It's a 25
man roster in this spot because Hap is not going to be
big locker room guy.
Big locker room guy.
And my whole point being with this whole conversation at least that I started had a ding dong every now and then. For those who say that the bullpen isn't going to do it, the bullpen did it for the Royals. They won with flying colors. And also for those who say the bullpen is taxed because they've been throwing a lot, we are the only team that has not thrown a pitcher for 2 days in a row in the MLB. Drop the mic once again. See ya. That's a fact. The only team.
Is that?
That is true. I saw that. But
to clarify, we haven't thrown anyone back-to-back days from the bullpen?
Yep.
There's no way.
We were talking about that today.
I believe it.
That's just crazy to think about.
Just give a good thought to who's in our bullpen over this past year. Patan's been out all year. Shit.
No, he's been
That's who you start with?
Chapman. Canley, Ottavino, Holder, Britton. Sessa, Britton,
Chad Green. Let me see if
Chad Green.
Love him.
Tarpley. Don't forget Tarpley.
Tarpley, Cortez.
Nestor.
Nestor's my guy.
Fucking Nestor.
I did not know who Chance Adams was.
I
didn't think so.
But those are all guys that you can throw in. Look, there's a select few you can put in the 8th and 9th, but for the most part, from whenever you want the beginning of the game up until like 7th, maybe 8th for some of them, you can throw them in pretty confidently and think you're going to get out of it scatheless.
Well, the good thing that the one way that we could maybe work around the whole starting pitching dilemma that we have is that we have the bullpen arms to do what we've done all year and start Chad Green.
Well, the Yankees have We lost one the other day.
There's one loss.
And it was the other day.
Despite that, I mean, Chad Green is just.
I think we're like 8-1 or 9-1 when we have a bullpen day.
It's
when Chad Green starts, not when it's a bullpen day. When Chad Green starts.
Holder, I'm pretty sure, despite that, that's absurd.
That's ridiculous.
It'd be so cool if Holder was absolutely like an elite setup guy.
I miss it.
Like if he led the leagues in holds and his last name was Holder.
I miss David Robertson.
Oh, no, he's out for the year.
Remember when we had the 10?
Oh, maybe not.
The I don't know. What is it? The 10? What's the word for 3? Not tandem.
Trifecta?
We had the trio. The trio. Excuse me.
Trifecta is cooler.
Of Betances, Chapman, and Andrew Miller.
Oh, stop.
Remember when Andrew Miller was an elite pitcher on the Yankees?
He was an elite pitcher last year.
He's so average now. What is he on the Cardinals now?
He just had an off year. He was still fucking elite last year.
He was elite last year.
He was one of the best relief
if
pitchers.
If Betances is your guaranteed 7 guy and Andrew Miller was your 8 guy.
Oh yeah. But if we did that, we wouldn't have had Torres.
But we got Chapman back.
Yeah, we had Chapman back, but we still I guess. But we just re-signed him for a lot of fucking money. But if we never lost them, we wouldn't. I don't know. I guess in hindsight, giving up Andrew Miller wouldn't.
All right. So I'm gonna go back a little bit, but this was one of the points I wanted to make earlier, and we just didn't get to touch on it. We were talking about Urshela,
and the trade deadline just going side by side. What do you guys feel about a potential trade with Andujar?
Yes.
It depends. It depends what we get.
Because I'm personally for it.
It really just depends what we get.
Because if you just want to put like every major category side by side, defensively, Andujar's got him beat by a mile. I mean, I'm excuse me. Other way around. Urshela's got him beat by a mile.
But yeah.
Can you even say the bat's different? Last year, Andujar batted 297 with 27 home runs.
And like 49 doubles or something crazy like that. But
yeah, but this season, you have Urshela batting, what, 320-something with 17 home runs at the moment. So by the end of the year, he'll have, what, at least 22?
Mm-hmm.
Give or take.
Give or take. I'm saying at least 22. But now you have a Gold Glove contending third baseman.
Oh, I don't see anybody being
for Gold
Glove.
And he's 27.
He's the Gold Glove.
He's 20.
He's got to be. Who else is
Matt,
who else is
Matt
Gold
Chapman.
Gloves? Oh, fuck.
Yeah. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
American League,
still
big guy.
Nobody.
That's true.
If Urshela didn't pop off the way he did this year, nobody's
going to
contention with
Chapman. I think
Urshela
will win it because professional leagues don't like giving out awards to the same people in a row. But look, they'll do it if they can't find someone else. But if is Chapman the one who won it last year?
I couldn't tell you, man. But I do know that they gave it to Simmons back-to-back years. Anderson Simmons for shortstop. I know they gave him back-to-back years last year and the year before that. And honestly, he could get it this year too. So I know they Gold Gloves, at least they give it out. If there's a definite dominant fielder at a position,
I'm gonna go out on a hunch and say Chapman won it last year. But
let's talk
field
of dreams.
If that's
in a second.
Ah, touche. If you're just going straight up, I think you have
Chapman won it last year.
Yeah, so Chapman won it last year. I think they give it to Urshela this year solely based off the fact that they don't want to give it twice in a row, but also the fact that Urshela is just better.
They also got Bregman in there.
Bregman will not win.
I don't know if he'll get a
Gold Glove.
To be honest, I haven't watched. I don't really know.
Bregman will not win Gold Glove.
I'll play devil's advocate a little bit on this with Andujar. The thing is, Urshela had a great year, but there are so many guys in the MLB that have had one good year and kind of fizzled off.
And here's
countless.
Here's the thing I'm going to counter with that. So, Andujar, that was his rookie year. It could have happened to anyone. And the thing I'm saying with Urshela is I respect a guy that has been in the league. I don't want to say failed, but he wasn't playing the way he was this year. But he learned something along the way that made him into the player he is now. I don't know. I respect that as a player. Andujar, you could say like maybe pitchers were just throwing him that way. Like they didn't know how to pitch him yet. I don't know. I respect the way that Urshela grew as a player after being in the majors and turned himself into the hitter that he is now.
Like I said, I was just playing devil's advocate a little bit just for the sake of an argument because I'm actually dead set. Like if you had a gun in my head and said, I think you guys talked about this last week. If you had a gun to your head, who are you trading, Andujar or Urshela? I'm stuck in the middle. I have no fucking clue.
I'm trading Andujar.
But for the Andujar side, he was top three for rookie of the year last year. And he was hurt this year. And so you have no fucking idea how high his ceiling could be. We have no clue. And Urshela is, what, 28? How old is he?
27.
Doesn't matter. And he had one great year, which is wonderful. And realistically, we're not going to have to get rid of either of them.
Yeah,
but
let's not forget, we did see Andujar play this year.
So on that point,
he couldn't hit.
But he was playing.
He
hurt.
Couldn't hit water
he
if he was on a boat.
He was playing hurt. He came back hurt for like four.
No,
games.
He got hurt sliding.
He couldn't throw.
Right,
he
but he still. But he
swing.
Was still. He played like what? How many games? I don't even know. Like,
he couldn't
I'm
hit
pretty
water
sure it was less than
if
10
he
games.
Was on a goddamn boat.
But he played like 10 games off an injury. You can't tell me anybody's going to be that
then
good.
Then don't
in their first
play
10 games
because
off an
guess
injury.
What? In my mind, his
you have
stock
to get back into
already.
Seeing major league pitching. You're not going to see major league pitching until
if
that
you're
hit.
Hurt, do not play.
Hey, so all I right. was wondering to myself, Mike Talkman. Hello, Luke again. Mike Talkman and Gio are both playing out of their mind, right? I was wondering myself, is this sustainable?
Absolutely.
Myself. So I looked at some stats and some player comps. Little stat bomb for you right now. I looked into some stats, and I made some player comps, and the one person that came to mind to me was Mr. Lewis Linwood Voigt. He has not
he didn't come into the show. He was really fucking bad at baseball. Really bad. Until he was 28 years old.
Gio Urshela.
I'm trying to say by this
Charlie
point,
Blackman.
There is a time in baseball where people. I was trying to pinpoint where the prime starts because it's tough to realize
it's
in every single in every sport. Because in football, it's a little smaller of a shelf life. Baseball, you could play from 20 to 42, like Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds is different. He took a lot of roids towards the end of his career. He made seven MVPs, which is crazy. I don't know if you want to count those, whatever.
From what I've noticed, the prime athletic time frame.
The prime starts when you're about
26, 27.
Which is kind of crazy. I looked at a lot of people on Baseball Reference, and most people, like Hank Aaron's and all these random like Hall of Fame players.
So bored.
But
this is why
it's
he quit his day
though.
Job, guys.
It's a fact. And this is going to be my day job. But the fact is, I'm trying to see if Gio and Talkman, if this is legit, like if this is just fool's gold, or if what is this? And I'm just noticing that, I mean, these guys, like Gio hasn't played more than 60 games in his career in a single season. Talkman hasn't played more than 30 in a single season. Voigt, before he broke out with us, hasn't played more than 40 games in a single season until they broke out when they were 28. And I'm trying to see, like, is this possible to be a breakout? Yeah, the breakout starts when you're 28, and I think that's fair to assume that this is when that happens.
And not even just talking age, there's the thing that I was saying before. I respect guys that adjust to the league after they're in it, not guys that happen to come up and they're just hot right away.
It's Jason Hayward. Jason Hayward was great until he's 24.
I think something that's going
very... He couldn't adjust, so he's having a...
I think something that's going very underappreciated right now.
Different guy, but...
Like, we're having this conversation, but there's one common factor in all of them. They're all ending up being good on the Yankees. Does that mean the coaching staff on the Yankees is just... the technology and the coaching staff, are they just far superior? Look, we're the ones finding these guys at 26, 27, 28, and they're all becoming good on the Yankees. Is it just... Look... I'm all for being lucky and just hitting gold, striking gold, excuse me. But I'm just saying they're all ending up in the Yankees minor league system, and when they're all ending up there, they end up hitting well.
I have one.
Look at all the guys that have come up recently. They're all hitting.
Right. I have one possible explanation for that. Yeah, next man up. Thanks, Rella. My one possible explanation is that the Yankees have always kind of lived and died by the long ball. It's been a thing as long as I've been alive, at least, and probably even before that. And now we're entering a stage in the MLB where this is the first year that I've really heard the launch angle era, like, being used a lot. And I think that what it's kind of turned into is that the Yankees coaching staff, they're saying, like, hey, like, they've been coaching the launch angle technique sort of for a little while. And they're kind of teaching that in the minors. And I think that's why these guys are coming up and hitting just so many home runs. And the average is there great. And that's wonderful. And I don't have an explanation for that. But I think for the home runs, at least, with Talkman and, you know, Romine and every... I mean, Romine's been up and down for a while. But I think they're just learning at the minor league level how to hit that effectively.
I mean, like, on any other team, do you think these guys are going to hit the way they're hitting on any other team? Or you
think
it's just
so.
Like a...
I mean,
Yankee effect.
Look at Talkman and Urshela. They were dog shit before they came to the Yankees.
Exactly.
Maybe.
That's
breakout,
asshole.
Shut up.
Yeah, at this age. It might come down to the Yankees hitting coach, but I think it's just something they picked up along the way. That
I think it's
just
I mean, it's just the common factor.
Every single guy that's coming up has been hitting as well as each other. It's just
I think it starts in the minors, and I think that's pretty obvious by how the people that are coming up are hitting. And I think it's kind of the same thing that happened with Mariano and his curve. Or in his cutter. Like, when Mariano started throwing his cutter, now that's what they teach guys in the Yankees. When you look at a lot of the guys, especially relievers, that come up through the Yankee system, they're throwing a cutter, and they're throwing it effectively. And, I mean, that's been going on for quite some time, but I think that's the kind of thing. I think the Yankees were just a little bit ahead of the launch angle, and they were teaching that at the younger age, and that's why I think that's exactly why Talkman is doing what he's doing. But I did see or heard something today, and they were talking about when Talkman – first came up for the Rockies, he went to, like, his first batting practice in the Major League Stadium before a game. I mean, there were probably, like, you know, 3,000 people or so watching that batting practice. He had 50 swings. I dare you to tell me how many he missed.
Please tell me.
24. Swing and miss. Swing and miss.
15.
Out of 50.
15.
He missed 7. 40.
Jeez.
He missed 4 out of 5.
Pierce could go up there and do better.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like a nerve thing. I just heard it today. I thought it was really funny. But, like, that's actually absurd. Like, a professional baseball player that is good enough to go to the MLB at some point. So you're obviously pretty established in the minors at least. And you go up and in batting practice fastballs, you miss 40 out of 50.
Wait, so I'm sorry for the tangent, but can we talk about when are we buying our tickets to Iowa?
The fucking I might just
I
buy
will
a
pay.
Penny.
I do. I love corn on the cob.
Dude, there's a fucking.
Are there people in
cob.
Iowa? Is there airports? I looked all this up. I put it on the story. Did you see all my Google searches?
We're locking. Rel
I put
out
all
of
the Google searches.
Time.
Yeah, facts.
What?
We're locking you out of the room next time.
You're gonna have a word limit.
I apologize,
when you're not on.
But this is content, baby. People love content.
For anyone that doesn't know, the Yankees and White Sox next summer will be playing a game at the Field of Dreams Field.
I mean, if you don't know that, stop listening.
Don't stop That's listening. We love viewers.
That's just baseball, Susan. And all you need to know is
don't call me Susan. Karen.
8,000 fans there, and I will be one of those guys.
They are setting up temporary bleachers, and it will seat 8,000 people.
I'm just curious.
With
how
a window and
I'm just
field,
curious
so
how much it's
going to
cost, though. Because you know it's the old adage about supply and demand. You ever heard of it?
How much is corn on the cob going to cost? That
there's 8,000 fans.
Love
that'll
corn
be
on the cob.
Supply and demand. There's a lot of the.
It's
going to
be 8 grand
low
for
demand.
Nosebleeds.
It's going to be cheap. For tickets, there's 8,000. I mean, the only way you get me to Iowa is by putting the Yankees there. That's the only way. And then my question
or
is
a poker tournament.
That too. But if you like, what do you do after the game? You
there's
leave.
Probably
you leave.
Less than
That's
5,000 buyable seats.
Or get corn on the cob.
You leave right away after the game, right?
I'm sorry, I'm tweeting.
What else are we doing?
Oh, we're taking the next.
What are you
going to
do in Iowa?
The game ends at 10:59. We're taking a
shuck
o'clock
corn.
Flight.
Am I going to shuck corn? Is that's the term, right? Shuck corn.
Or Cedar Rapids is Michigan.
We're
going to
shuck
Des Moines,
the shit out of that corn.
There's a lot of it.
Remember what we did in England?
I think it's
talk
great.
About Iowa.
I think it's great for the game, though.
Oh yeah,
I think it's really good for the
they
game.
They didn't release the dimensions, right?
No. They're building a new field directly to the left of it.
Yeah, but they didn't release the dimensions.
No, it's gonna be similar. But I think. I don't know. I think is it going to be similar to like a London sort of thing? Because since there hasn't been a game,
no, because they didn't build the stadium for London.
No, my point is
it's
going to
be like the Winter
now,
Classic.
My point here is that there was never a game played in Iowa for the MLB before.
Do they even have sports in Iowa?
They've never played baseball
the
there and Major League Baseball.
The Cornhuskers.
So my point here is fuck. So since they have never played an MLB game there before. Is there going to be some kind of like meet and greet, like a Pretty Little Liars meet and greet, like that sort of thing? Like
they're going within the continental United States of America. They're not going to. Like,
they know, but they're trying to grow the game. They've never played baseball
Dude,
in Iowa.
They
before.
Play baseball.
There's
in
never
Iowa.
Been one MLB game in
they
Iowa.
They still play baseball there. They know what baseball. All
right, but I'm.
They
somebody
the MLB. They're not going to.
But
like
somebody,
Japan or,
somebody
Japan
who has never seen an MLB baseball game before and sees Aaron Judge hit a fucking home run into a cornfield. May watch baseball after that, and that's why I think they might try and grow the
so
game.
So you're telling me you've never gone outside of your state to watch an MLB baseball game?
Before? Iowa, I don't know what I don't even know who's
if
in
you're
Iowa.
From a
he
neighboring
know where
state.
Iowa
of,
is. I don't think
okay. Field of Dreams. No, this is Iowa. I don't
you
know.
Go to Chicago.
Pierce.
Chicago.
Let's go to Chicago. That was Luke Rella, everyone.
That's,
if you didn't know
I
him before, you know him
talk.
Now, and trust me, you probably knew him before.
All right, well. What we're trying to say is you will see us in Iowa at that game next year.
Is that a promise? Cause
no, that's a promise. I will live stream.
If I don't have a ticket,
for
I will
the
still,
3 hours
I'll sit
I'm
in the
going
goddamn
there.
Corn.
Hopefully by then we're
we
big
will,
enough where
we
they
will
just give
trek
us
through
enough
the cornfields to go there. I will pay anything
I
that I've saved up to go to that game.
I have one thing about that I haven't heard anybody talk about yet, but I'm sure somebody has. They're probably going to have some like crazy, crazy, crazy throwbacks. Like throwback jerseys for that, I'm so excited
just
to see
the
what the Yankees like. Because the Yankees, you got to believe they're going to be the away team, right? So they're going to have some like retro
grays. They are the away team because they're finishing the series in Chicago.
Well, that and like it was the White Sox field, so that yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But like, are they going to just do like an old version of their normal grays, or are they going to do something crazy? Because I don't know how many people follow hockey really that much, but the closest comparison I can make for this is it's like kind of like the Winter Classic. They're going back. They're doing something retro. They're playing like in hockey. They play outside and they wear just like these crazy retro uniforms that weren't they're like kind of renditions of the old uniforms,
well,
but they had their own little twist. No, I agree. But
this is America.
But like, I mean, I feel like the White Sox are going to do something kind of crazy with it.
I thought this was America.
Are the Yankees going to do it? When have you ever seen the Yankees wear an alternate jersey? Never.
Never. So,
but like,
there's no such thing.
Except for Players Weekend. Except for Players Weekend, that's it.
But there's not, though.
Yeah.
The only time the Yankees wear something other than pinstripes or gray is on Players Weekend.
Exactly.
Or spring training.
But like well, it's nowadays when now they're gonna now that they do the I don't know why I'm pointing at the TV, it has nothing to do with what I'm saying, but I mean I don't know now like now they're doing the players weekend thing where they wear some other jersey that the MLB makes and all that, so like the Yankees would be inclined to maybe do something cool with it.
They're,
if the White Sox do especially.
To be fair, like they nowadays cool. They might be more willing to, but I know. Recently, like within the past like 5 years, they just started wearing the different hats for different holidays. They used to never do that. They used to refuse to do that. They would wear the same shit.
What's the Yankees?
So maybe nowadays, maybe they will.
I mean, just want to see. I think it's gonna be so fucking cool.
Yeah, I mean,
if they
it's just
if
smart
they
for that.
I'm disappointed. If the
make
Yankees
more
go in their normal road jerseys,
because they'll sell more jerseys if they bring out a new jersey. So it's smart,
but they won't.
But they're the Yankees.
I
can't.
So.
I don't
can't.
Know if they won't. I think they might.
I can't see them. Doing
I don't think they will. I can't.
Other jerseys than their classic pinstripes and just
this,
away
this
games.
They,
like
this
I
is
mean,
the
I
won't,
think
about, that, if it was pinstripes, then maybe not.
Well, not the pinstripes, but I mean, even their away jerseys. I mean, it's just
if they're not coming up with a jersey for an entire different country when we go to England.
But the Red Sox didn't
different
jerseys
though.
Either.
No. It's not though because. They have full access to MLB jerseys.
No,
we're still in America, people.
But the difference,
Iowa.
The no, the is difference is they're playing Tunisia. The they're playing the White Sox, who also have pinstripes. That is the difference.
That's
so
true.
We wear our away.
But think about it, the NBA
jersey. I don't see the issue.
The NFL. I'm sorry. The NFL is like the king of alternate jerseys with the color rush and all the anniversary jerseys and all that. But when the Jaguars go to London every day because they only fill 10,000 people in Jacksonville Stadium.
That's true.
They don't wear alternate jerseys in London either when they go play there. So, like, there wasn't, like, a premise to do that.
All right. Yeah, I mean, like.
Any last points?
I get that. But
so what do we got going forward? What do we got to look forward to?
Yeah, to leave you on a happy note, Gleyber Torres coming back. Gary Sanchez coming back. Luis Severino coming back.
Luis Severino is starting mound pitches.
23 pitches off the mound.
Full
today.
Bullpen on
so
Monday.
Gleyber's still day-to-day. He'll probably be back soon. Sanchez set to be back in the lineup tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Which
today,
will be
today,
which will be today when you guys get this podcast.
Saturday.
Sevy's throwing off a mound today. Well, yesterday, tomorrow, whatever. Betances is throwing off a mound start of this week. And Stanton's a little farther behind, but he'll be back soon.
And if you don't follow us yet, follow us on the 161 pod on Instagram.
And Twitter.
Sorry, we just came
we
out with the
Twitter
as well.
Same handle.
No problemo whatsoever. Copy and paste that shit. But when we do that,
send it.
I just want you to follow and give us a listen because I think this is the best goddamn podcast on the Northeast.
Ever.
Why am I even saying Northeast?
Ever.
And you're not wrong. I mean, so poker?
Yeah,
let's
poker. One thing. I got three words for you.
Oh my god, of course he does. Here, yeah,
three words.
Next fucking half hour.
Let's go, Yankees. Let's win a fucking World Series, baby. And I